This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this Invest Talk August 2nd edition. I appreciate you being with me. Above average investing for the average investor is what we discuss every day. So we're trying to teach all of us better ways to make money, make better decisions. We try to answer your questions during this hour, 4 to 5 Pacific time, live. And, of course, any questions you leave on our 24-hour listen line, we'll try to answer those too. Same number, 888-99-CHART. And we'll get to that in a minute. The Dow busted through another record today, 22,000. What does that mean? Not much, but we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that and the market in just a few minutes. New research shows that young, inexperienced investors tend to be overconfident when they first start buying and selling stocks. How to avoid young investor mistakes. That's going to be one of our main talking points today. I've seen it over and over and over. Same mistakes, same kinds of mistakes. I think young people think that they're just going to make a fortune in the market right away, and that their picks are just going to double and triple and quadruple. And they make the same mistakes. And those mistakes are being that they don't look at the fundamentals very carefully. They look at they look at past movement of the stock and think that's going to tell them it's going to move that way in the future. They tend to want to get very penny stocks or very small companies that tend usually to go out of business because they have high prospects. That's what they generally do. We'll talk about it more. Now let's check in our 24-hour listener line calls. It's open for your questions anytime you want to ask them.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I'm about to roll over my 401k from an old company, and I'm thinking about putting it into Vanguard's retirement fund targeted for 2055. What's the best way to enter this fund? Given the high market, should I hold cash until the market goes down or maybe put a portion in now? Interested to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Well, at this point in the market, the way it's been moving, I think it would be unwise to dump it all in there at one time. But I don't know when it's going to top. No one knows when it's going to stop going up or when the correction will happen. So a prudent method would be put some in now and this dollar cost average in. And when the market goes down, just keep putting money in as the market corrects. I don't think it's going to crash. I think it's just going to have a correction. A good, healthy correction of 10% would make me feel so much better being in the market. So that's what I would. I wouldn't just dump it in all now, even though there's theories out there that say don't try to time it, just dump it in. I don't know. I think that you could be a little bit sharper than that, and I would be cautious right now. Be cautious. Okay, let's take a look at some of the featured reports in depth, articles you'll find on the Invest Talk Insider page. How United avoided an earnings disaster by putting this one sentence into practice. From Inc. That's from Inc. Remember, these articles are on our website. Also, need to know one giant reason why tech bubble talk may simply be overblown. A story that's from MarketWatch. Or another one. And a story from USA. Saving the retirement in the most tax-efficient manner possible. Many professionals are focused on helping retirees determine the most tax-efficient way to generate income in retirement from their various accounts, investments, and products. It's an article that I think would be well served to read. But you know, our website has constantly new articles coming in every half hour or so, and it's just something that you might want to read. On our website, if you're looking for a good source of good articles that we pick that we think are good for all our listeners, go there. If you got questions about tax strategies over retirement, I'm not a tax expert, but I may be able to shed some light on your situation. Just give us a call. 888-99-CHARGE, how you can get through right now. Bring in all your questions, any money questions. So let's get back to the phones right now.
Hey, Steve or Justin. Just listening on the podcast here. Long-time listener. Great show. I had a question about Caterpillar. B-A-T. I have a lot of shares that I own. I think I picked them up in October of 2010, and they're at their all-time high right now. So it's a pretty decent return that I have, and I was wondering if I should sell a little bit, take some off the top, get some profits, and if I could reinvest in other stocks. Can you do an analysis of Caterpillar and let me know what your thoughts are on that, or do you think it has more rooms, legs to run on this, where I should hold for a little longer? Thanks. Bye.
Oh, Caterpillar, C-A-T, everybody knows who they are. Manufacturing, construction, mining equipment, diesel and natural gas, engines, turbines, and locomotives. The good thing about Caterpillar is they turned around their sales and their growth. The growth, turned around their sales and their earnings. The growth rate of earnings is 51% this year, then another 24% next year. And based on next year's earnings, the stock at $113, the P.E. ratio is like 17 to 18. The five-year range is 9 to 29. So it's kind of in the middle as far as that is concerned. And it looks like they just turned around. But I will say that probably most of the move is already built into the stock, because the stock has moved from $80 back in last November to now $109. So, you know, that's a pretty good move. I would start to take profits at this stage. You said you had a lot of it, and so you at least need to get it down to a 3 to 5% of your portfolio. Don't want to own too much of any one thing. But Caterpillar is a really solid company. So I don't know if I'd get rid of it, but I certainly would cut it, take some profits off the table. How to avoid young investors' mistakes. That's one of our talking points today. I also want to talk about the Dow reaching 22,000. When a lot of that 22,000 has got to be that today that it moved up above that. It has to be thank you to Apple Computer, who's up 4.7% today. Also about, are Americans spending more than they can afford? There's some revisions of government stats out that puts a different spin on this. And I want to talk about we had a lot of economic numbers come out, and I want to talk about certain ones: personal income, consumer spending, construction spending. I want to just talk about them and what they look like month over month. Those are things I want to talk about, but what is on your mind? The market was mixed today, I guess. The Dow was up 52, but most of that is due to Apple. The NASDAQ was down 1, and the S&P was up 1. So overall, the market was kind of flat today with the Dow making the move. But as I said yesterday, I mean, today's move for the Dow was all due to Apple. If Apple didn't do what it did, up 4.7%, the Dow would have been flat. The last, all of July, the Dow, 50% of the up move in the Dow was because of one company. That was Boeing. Remember, we talked about that yesterday. So, you know, it's that movement in the market is very narrow, not broad-based. But if you've been paying attention to the earnings, corporate earnings reports, they've been pretty darn solid this quarter, this earnings season. So that's helped to stabilize and keep the market from falling. Anyways, that's what's going on. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk on? I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. Taxes are money right off the top from your investments. Taxes. And there are other drags on the bottom line as well. Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART, how to get through right now.
Justin, this is Richard in Biloxi. I called last week and I gave you the wrong symbol for stock. I'd like to look at M as in Mary, I as in Indian, C as in Charlie. They're out of New York. I'd like to see what would be a good entry point. I'm looking for the dividend. How safe is it? I listen on iPod, so let me know, and I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Okay, this is Macquarie, M-A-C-Q-U-A-R-I-E. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Macquarie Infrastructure. Provides fixed-based airport operations, gas production and distribution in Hawaii, and power generation services. So is it a semi-utility real estate? I don't know. It's in the real estate development sector, which seems odd with that description. Take a look at it. It's going to make $2.07 this year, than $2.43 next year. And that's up 12% this year, another up 17% next year. Sales have turned around. A year ago, they were flat. Starting 4 quarters ago, it was up 1%, then 3 quarters, 9%, 2 quarters, 14%, and most recent quarter, up 10%. So it's turned itself around as far as some growth. The problem, and it has a very high dividend, 6.9%. The problem I see is that that growth does not justify a $76 stock price at $2.43 a share. Okay, it just does not. That's 30-plus PE, that's and return on equity 5%. Way too expensive. I'm sure people buy it because they see that 6.9% dividend, and they might easily be able to carry that. But at $2.43, you know, a 7% dividend is like $4. Well, they can't keep that up. Now, the cash flow is pretty good at $5.73. But that's hard to keep that kind of dividend going, and that might be because of a special one-time dividend, not because it's a consistent dividend payer. You'd have to look into that. It's not for me. I don't care for the stock. I just don't. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Young people making investment mistakes. They are. They pick high speculative stocks, stocks that may not have earnings but have high growth sales but haven't made a profit. Or another classic mistake for young people is they buy way too much of any one stock. You know, 20%, 30% of their portfolio. They just buy the whole, and because they have lots of confidence or overconfident. Then what happens is after a while, the market does what the market does and kills them with a pullback or a bear market, and they now get out. Now they're gun shy. They don't want to get back in. Don't want to get back in because they've been hurt badly. And they don't accept the fact that maybe it was them improperly managing their money as opposed to, well, the stock market's crazy and no one knows what it's doing, or it just is an unreliable place. The stock market does what the stock market does. You just have to adjust to it. As you get older, you don't have those outlandish expectations. You become more immune to those big swings in the market prices. You know that that's going to happen. So you don't get out. You stay with the market, and usually you don't make those mistakes. But if we can catch the young person early enough and teach them not to make those mistakes that the new investors do, that is, not diversifying enough, always picking stocks with high potential but no solid earnings and profits and dividends, you can buy those stocks, but only with a little bit of your money, those high-risk stocks. That way you can grow your portfolio much more reasonable, much more stable. You can do it. Now we just got to get a hold of young people and then shake them up. This is Invest Talk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. A good way to learn about your finances is to boldly step forward and ask your questions. The things that make you scratch your head, let's talk about it. You can get through right now. Any money questions, welcome. 888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Art in Menlo Park. How are you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Schlumberger.
Do you want to buy it?
Pick some up, but I'm not sure if oil is going to be taking a dive like before the end of the year. So I was just wondering what your thoughts were.
Yeah, you're gonna have to pay up for it, Art. It was at 85 or so back in beginning of the year, fell all the way to 65 or so. Now it's at 69. But even at 69, the earnings are gonna go up dramatically next year to $2.38 from $1.51 this year and $1.14 last year. But that's a far cry from the years past, where it's making $4 or $5 a share. At $2.38 and a stock price of 69, you're looking at close to a 30 PE ratio. So even after a turnaround in the company's finances, it's still expensive. I'm not sure you want to be in this area because I think we have a glut of oil around the world. And Schlumberger, everybody, provides technology services, project management, and information solutions to petroleum industry worldwide. And the petroleum industry is not looking for the oil they used to have to because they don't need to. We got too much. So Schlumberger, I'm not sure I want to be in this sector at this point. I'm just not
sure. Okay.
Okay? All right, appreciate the call. All right. SLB was the symbol, everybody. Schlumberger. That's how you say it, even though it looks like Schlumberger. Schlumberger is Schlumberger. Okay, they're out of Houston, Texas. 888-99. Charlie, let's talk to Jamie Palo Alto. You want to talk about Snap. How you doing, Pat Jamie?
Hey, I'm doing good, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hey, I'm checking on the Snap because I think I'm one of those guys that wanted to try my luck, but I'm down about 34%. So see if I can get you any insight from you. Maybe I should just leave and, you know, with the law.
Didn't they have, I want to say there was an article out, came out later today, but I didn't get a chance to read it about Snap. I'm not a big fan of Snap. Provides camera-related applications to help people to express themselves and communicate. I'm always worried about how do they make money? Their growth rate of sales is strong, but they still don't make money, have never made money, not going to make money next year. I can't bring myself, Jamie, to buy a stock that doesn't make money. And everybody falls in love with these IPOs, and most IPOs within 6 months after their opening, that six-month period, they're selling before their opening price. So this what, when IPO in March? If I remember right, March. And what was that? The IPO price was $17, but the first trade was like $23. So,
yeah. Now, starting at 20, I think at 21.
Yeah. Man, if it was me, Jamie, I'd take the short-term loss, get out, and go look for something that's better, and use the losses for this one against any gains I might have in some other stock that I actually made money on. I would not.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well with the facts, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not keen on this.
Okay.
But read about, there was an article out today. I don't know if it was earnings or what, but I think something came out today. So you might want to read that before you make a decision. David, Jamie, I appreciate the call. That's Snap, S-N-A-P. We're going to go talk to David in San Jose. How you doing, David?
Hey, Steve, doing well. Thank you for taking the call. Love the show.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I'm getting my butt kicked here with Yamana Gold. I made a pretty daring play on it at the end of third quarter last year in anticipation of the presidential election and the whole craziness that was going on. And I thought, hey, if Trump is elected, you know, dollar's going to fall and gold's going to skyrocket because of all the craziness he brings along with him in the circus, and I thought it was going to be great, but your mind has just gone down. I mean, I'm down over 40% on it, and and I've been holding it since, hoping it comes back, but, I mean, a few months ago, gold was around 1220, and your mind was over 270. Now gold is at 1275, and your mind is at 256, I think 259 where it's close today.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering what's going on and what's...
And you'll notice that the dollar did fall. It is falling. It has fallen. So that would be that would mean that gold should go up when gold dollar goes down. So it's kind of interesting. Yamana Gold, everybody, Canadian company engaged in the mining exploration of gold and silver properties. They're going to make 3 cents a share this year after making 7 cents last year. And then 12 cents next year. That's what they say they're going to do. It's a $2.50 stock. So even if they make 12 cents, that's a 20 PE. And their sales have been very, very volatile to the downside. I think it might be Yamana. Even though gold has not really done much, I think at this point, David, I would hold on to it. Because it's right at strong support here at the $2 area. So I think you've already took the loss. So unless you need to apply the loss to the other gains, the dollar is falling. and continue to get weaker, you would think that it should move up, but it's just not. I'd probably hold on to it and see. 888-99-CHART is our number. You're listening to Invest Talk.
Our podcast continues next. The process of investing is more than just picking stocks. Investing begins with savings, of course, and along the way, there are issues about taxes and then estate planning and on and on. KPP Financial clients have a ready resource of information about any and all of these personal financial matters. All they need to do is ask. Managing your money gets more complex every day, and there are more options than the average person could possibly comprehend. And when we're confronted with too many choices, research shows that people put off decisions, important decisions. Most times, that's not productive. KPP Financial's philosophy is the more their clients know, the more successful they'll be, and the more predictable their future will be. KPP Financial, serving the average investor, helping them find solutions. Now let's continue with the podcast. And now, back to the Money Talk. Glad you're here with Steve. Financial advisor Steve Peasley, ready for your money question right now. Our direct line, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. What do you want to talk about? I have lots of things I can talk about, but of course, I'd like to talk about what's on your mind. The Dow went above 22,000 for the first time today, thanks to Apple. They had a rise of 4.7% because the numbers were much better than everybody, the experts expected. And that's without the new iPhone, what, the 8 coming out here in the fall? So they really did a good job. Now, the reason why Apple has such a big effect, because it is the largest company in the stock market. So it has kind of a bigger significance when it moves up and down. Large way at 4.7%. I wonder if earnings that have been very good out this quarter justify the Dow going over 22,000. Now, I looked at it, and it looks like the P.E. ratio is around 22 right now, and 20 looking forward. Because of the forward-looking estimates. It doesn't seem that's high. Historically, the P/E ratio would be 15. It can be a little higher with hardly any inflation, and it's true we don't have any, but it does seem to be pretty extended, but it has been extended for a while. So you can't just use that as a justification. What I did find interesting today is that there were 34 stocks that were up on high volume, meaning volume being shares being traded, high volume. 34 stocks up on high volume, but 383 stocks down on high volume. Do you get the importance of that? I think that's kind of telling. The market's going up, but it's very darn narrow, very narrow. Meaning very few stocks pushing it higher. And the broader market isn't doing that good at all. You know, so now this is just one day, but I've been noticing this same pattern for a number of weeks now, where the high volume means there's a lot of interest, right? Whether it's good interest or bad interest in the stock. Bad interest meaning people selling and getting out. Good interest meaning people want to buy it. So the higher the volume, the more excited people are either it going up higher or it going down too much, and they're worried. So I find it fascinating that the market is still moving up, especially the Dow, while the internals are weakening. And again, I will point out again that the transportation index is not following suit with the Dow. And if you know anything about the Dow theory, you know that that's not right either. Little red flags are moving around. Doesn't mean the market can't continue to go up, because it has and it could. Just saying that these are things you need to watch. Let's get back to the 24-hour listener line and pick up another question. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hey, Steve or Justin. My name is Michael. I'm a 22-year-old beginning investor. I've been investing for 2-3 years now, still learning. I was just wondering, I work for Tech Data Corporation, ticker TECD. I was looking at the fundamentals. It's probably, you know, it could be a little better. I was just wondering, I could buy at an employee discount of 15%. And I was wondering, what's your take on that? If you could just tell me, what do you think with that option, you know, buying a good amount with that 15% reduction employee purchase? All right, look forward to hearing on your show. Thanks a lot.
I really like the employee 15% off. You're getting an automatic 15% discount on the stock. My question would be, how long do you have to hold on to it? That's my first question. Can you turn around and sell it and pocket the 15%? Many times they make you hold it for a certain number of months, and that would be number one. Number two, you look at your own company's fundamentals, as you pointed out. This is Tech Data, TECD. TECD is the symbol. It's a $103 stock. It's a $3.9 billion company. So it's a small cap trying to move into the mid-cap area. They're going to make $9.76 a share this year. That's up 53% from last year. That's a huge jump. And next year, it's going to go up another 10% to $10.76. So you're looking at a stock that's at 10 PE or a little bit lower than that, with a five-year range of 8 to 16. Return on equity is a little low at 11. That is a little disturbing, but doesn't have a lot of debt. The sales are a bit erratic quarter over quarter. I don't like that. Recent quarter sales jumped. I want to know why, but the fundamentals of the company are pretty solid. So, I'd buy it at the discount. I would. Now, don't go crazy. Don't do what the average young investor does and way overload on any one stock. Don't go crazy. Don't have all your money invested in this one stock. But as far as fundamentally and getting a 15% discount, I think that's a good deal. Dan, how you doing, Dan?
Good, Steve. How are you? Thank you for taking the call.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
I was wondering about Ford Motor Company, symbol F. It's near the 52-week low, and I was thinking about taking a position for about 10% of my holdings for long term. I was thinking like maybe 1060, 1070 would be a good place to buy. What are your thoughts?
Okay, 10% of your holdings is too high, too much money to invest in one company. Ford has it. I like Ford. I think it's a good, solid company. They're going to make $1.70 this year, but that's after making $1.76 last year. No, it's less. And then they're going to make $1.56 next year. Earnings are going down, and that's why the stock is having trouble. Sales are kind of stagnating, but still ranging 1, 2, 3% growth. So you're really not buying it for the growth. You buy it for that dividend at 5.5%. That looks pretty attractive. And you want to buy it when it's cheap. When it's cheap, right? And you're looking at, so the reasons you're looking at it, Dan, are all valid. You're looking for a company that has value. You're looking at a company that pays a nice dividend. And you're going to hold on to it for long term because you can collect that dividend for many years. I think that's what you told me. Isn't that what you just told me?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Okay. So maybe 5 to 8% then.
I would do about a 5% buy, and that's about as much as I would go on Ford. You know, it is a pretty decent price at $11 a share, and that means that it's a PE of about what, 7, 8, and the low PE that it has over the last 5 years is 5, and the high is 14. So it isn't always in a low range. It's always been in the low range. So this is pretty close to its low, so I think you're fairly safe buying. There's a lot of support at the number that you suggested, $10.70 or so? $10.
Yeah, about there. Would you feel comfortable at 11?
I would, actually, because, you know, you'll never be able to pick the bottom, Dan. You know, I would love to see you get at 1070. I would love it. But, it could go there tomorrow. But we're just guessing. Maybe, how about this? How about this as an idea? Buy 2.5% or 3% now, and then double up on it if you get your price that you're looking for.
a perfect that? Idea, and that's why I listen to you, Steve.
Okay. Good luck, Dan. I hope it works for you.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate the call. Let's go to Aaron in New York. How you doing, Aaron?
I'm great, Steve. How are you?
Good. Are you in New York City or the state? Because I don't know, everybody on the West Coast, I just came from the New York State up, and I went to the Baseball Hall of Fame and did a bike ride around the Finger Lakes up there. And people don't realize that most of New York is very rural and trees and farms. People think of New York as New York City that don't live on the East Coast. They just think it's New York City where it's all, and it's not. Most of New York is upstate, you know. Anyways, are you calling from New York City?
I'm from the city, but upstate is absolutely beautiful.
It is. Finger Lakes is gorgeous. Not too many people know about it either. What can I do for you?
So I took a moment to review my mom's 403B.
Okay.
And she had it on autopilot, and it's been allocating automatically to AGG, an intermediate bond fund.
Okay.
To a guaranteed cash allocation, which yields 1.8%.
Okay.
And then to the S&P 500, small caps, and medium cap stocks.
Okay.
And so my question is twofold. One is, if she's about 2 years away from retirement, what do you think the appropriate allocation should be? And then the second question is, because the guaranteed cash yields pretty close to the intermediate bond fund, would you recommend taking about 60 basis points less in yield and then having the safety and not being invested in a bond fund?
I would do that in a heartbeat, Aaron, because 1.8% is really good for cash, really good in this market. And you don't want the exposure of a bond fund of a rising interest rate. If there is a rise in interest rates, the bond fund value goes down. You still might get yield, but your net result is going to be down. So with the cash, you always have a positive 1.8%. So anything she's going to allocate to the bond funds, I would definitely use the cash at 1.8% guaranteed. Now, let me ask a question about your mom. How old is she?
She is 70 this year.
Is she using this money? Is it money that she needs?
So she doesn't need it, I think, she has about 2 years till retirement, and she has some other funds, so this is the bulk of her retirement.
Yeah, I'd probably start to get pretty conservative with it, Aaron. I would probably put more in the cash fund than you would, but it depends on your mom. Is she nervous about the market? Because you only have 2 years. You don't really want to take a lot of risk with this money if she's going to be needing it. Remember, she's going to live till she's 90, okay? And she's only 70. And 2 years away from retirement, does she get a pension?
She does not have a pension.
Okay, so she's going to rely on Social Security and this money.
Right, which is why I was trying to, so certainly I want to allocate a certain amount of cash in case the market does go down so she doesn't have to dip into her principal.
Right.
But I wanted to get a sense of how you would, generally apportion it between, let's say, cash or the bond substitutes and stocks.
I would say at this point, I think she needs about a 50-50 relationship. If she bought individual bonds and not a bond fund, I would clearly say, well, she should have 50% of her portfolio in a laddered bonds in which she doesn't have to worry about the net asset value going down. Because a bond fund, the net asset value of the fund will go down if interest rates go up. But if you buy the bond yourself, it will always go back to par. So it may go down in value, but it goes back to par. So you know exactly how much money you're getting back when it matures. So
right. Unfortunately, in the 403B, there aren't that many good options.
Yeah, you don't. And you can't do what I'm suggesting. So that's why I like this cash and pretend that that's the bonds. 1.8% is her bond portion. The other 50% maybe she can expose to the market. Because market is where you're going to get the growth. We all know that. But it is getting more and more risky. It just is. But if she doesn't need
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, if she doesn't need the money right away, she still wants that stock market exposure. You know, but I would cut back my exposure if she's got more than about 50%. 1.8% is great. It's more than inflation. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, try to get that in a savings account.
I think it's through Mass Mutual, and because of the nature of how they're structured, I think you know she's technically an owner of Mass Mutual because she's invested with them.
I got it. Yeah, I know. Aaron, appreciate the call. Good call. Good. Nice that you're looking out for your mom. I appreciate that. Let's go to Mark. How you doing, Mark? How you going?
How are you doing, Steve?
You in Antioch?
Yes, I am. Hey, I'm looking at purchasing one of two stocks. Basically, Kratos Defense and Security Solutions, KPOS, and then what's the other one? The AGNC.
Okay.
REIT.
AGNC.
It's like they're both pulling back right now, type of deal. And the market's going crazy, so I figured I'd follow it up a little bit with them.
Okay, let's take a look at AGNC, since I was pulling that one up first. It's a REIT investing in residential mortgage pass-through securities and collateralized mortgage obligations. So you would buy this because of the dividend. That's what you're buying it for. It's kind of pricey at $21.15, kind of pricey at that, because it's going to make $2.38, and it's a $21 stock. That means, why is it pricey? Well, because their range is low. The PE low of range is 4. So yeah, what is that going to mean? About a 9? So it's not that I kind of like it because their sales have turned around. So that they should be, remember, they got to pay 90% of their earnings. That's $2.38 is their earnings. They got to pay 90% of that out in a dividend. So what is that, $1.90? $1.95 on a $21 stock? You know, that's a pretty good yield still.
Yeah.
So it's good in that sense, but it is a little bit pricey on that.
Okay.
What was the other symbol, real quick?
KPOS, Kratos Defense and Security Solution.
Okay, that's a very different stock.
Yeah. Hmm. I did a long term with them. They made a big jump in May.
I like the AGNC better. I got to go. I'm sorry I can't give you more information on it. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Mark. Bob is holding Atlanta. We'll get to him next. 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Bobby in Atlanta. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Steve. Good. How you doing, sir?
Good. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
DaVita Healthcare or Partners, DVA, D as a David, V as a Victor, A as an Apple.
Yeah, I'm pretty familiar with this. This is the dialysis company, right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, the kidney dialysis, yep.
Yep. You know why it got hit today?
Earnings. Future earnings?
Yeah, it's all about the future. It actually was doing pretty good. I mean, if you look back and say, well, what were the earnings like? And they're pretty good. But the problem is political, Bobby. And that's what, this is the problem. In any healthcare stock, politics especially get involved these days. And the problem they have is in California, which of course is where I am, they are considering requiring staffing a certain minimums for dialysis places, and they're considering capping profits on these dialysis companies. So that's going to put a big burden on trying to grow their company because they can't make a certain amount of money. Of course, all that uncertainty is why what happened. The CEO, the reporting CEO, talked about that, and then everybody goes, uh-oh. The future doesn't look so bright. It's a really good company. I like it, but because it's a good, solid business. I mean, there's always going to be a growing need for dialysis because as a population gets older, their sales growth is steady at 3 to 5, 6%. Earnings are really steady. It's not overpriced. I mean, it has all those things you like, but you got that politics in the way. Bobby, so you got to consider that when you buy it. Got to consider it.
All right.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Robert in Pleasanton. How you doing, Robert? Robert? I do like classical music, but Robert, are you there? I guess we don't have Robert, or he's just... Oh, well, he put us on hold. Maybe he's got to take another call. Okay, okay, that's fine. Are Americans spending more than they can afford? Now, the government, before today, it looks like Americans were saving 5%, and they're growing their savings 5% a year, and they were spending, growing that 2 to 2.5% a year, and that's perfect. There's nothing wrong with that at all, even though that 5% is still low, but you're spending less than you're saving, and that's a good thing. Now, the government revised those numbers, came out today, for 2016. And so the revision was, their spending is about 2.5% per year, while after tax is only growing 1%. 1%. And savings rate after recession was 4 to 6%, but in 2016 that fell to 3.2%, which is a 10-year low. In June, the most recent quarter is 3.8%. So what you have is your spending is growing 2.5%. Your earnings is only growing 1%. Then you have inflation. So your earnings. So the question is, where are the extra money coming from? And what you're seeing is that they are using credit cards, home equity loans, and the sale of stock to continue the slightly more spending than earning that they have. It's not out of line, but it's not as good as it was before the revision of the report by the government. I mean, it was kind of disappointing, actually, because everybody thought it would be the same. But I guarantee you, no one paid attention to this. Matter of fact, no one paid attention to any of the numbers out this week. Personal income grew at 0% last month, from a growth of 0.3% the month before, and the expectation was 0.3%. Consumer grew 0.1% from growing 0.2%. Expected to grow 1%. Construction spending was down 1.3% after being up 0.4%. Those are not great numbers. Those are kind of icky numbers. We're going to get employment reports into this week. That's going to tell us an interesting story, I'm sure. Time's up for the hour, everybody. A reminder about my San Jose date this month. It's August 23rd for individual portfolio reviews. Together, we can take a look at how your accounts stack up with your particular life situation and goals. I'll be in San Jose all day on the 23rd of August. To reserve your hour with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on Portfolio Review. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And with Justin Klein and everybody, the whole family at KPP, thanks for being with us today. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.